Radio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck up!
Walla Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rocky.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass, we pump a mud pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and back to bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you. Drop it. If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Post show and brought to you by PWMania.com and Memorabilia Lane and promotions. Go to memlanepromo.com. I am Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
You just want to make Mace explode, don't you?
No, that's not the goal yet. And of course, the Aussie known as Mace.
Fuck you.
So, tonight's Monday Night Raw was an interesting bag of different.
Shit.
I'm going to say the word different.
Cow manure. Chicken excrement. Rat droppings. Doggy presents. In other words, a steaming pile of shit!
I mean, I'll admit, there were parts of the show that were good, but a lot of it was you're sitting there waiting for something to happen, and there wasn't enough that happened to make it worth the wait.
And 90% of what happened? We knew was gonna happen anyway!
Doesn't. Predictable is always good. The show opened with Vicky Guerrero showing us not one, not two, but three wheels. One of Superstars, one of Stipulations, and her favorite, the Vicky Vegas Challenge. The first match that was spun will be Randy Orton and Antonio Cesaro in a special referees match. But we start with CM Punk coming down to the ring. He tore up a fan sign. He, you know, shoved the timekeeper. And he talked about how this is the 435th day of the most historic WWE title reign in modern era. He said he beat The Rock and therefore he's the people's champion. He continued to yell he did not lose. He asked the fans if they want to put Rock on a pedestal. He said The Rock is a cheater and the fans are cheaters and no good thieves and cheap swindlers. Just like Vince McMahon and The Rock. Punk said he didn't need anyone to come out and restart a match. He said he was screwed by Vince. Just like Bret Hart in Montreal. He said it was the Phoenix screw job. That was a nice line. Punk asked if Vegas fans, if they wanted to party and celebrate, they cheered. But, you know, he said they were going to throw a party for The Rock. He said that in his world, they don't get restarts or water breaks. I got screwed, and I'm here to crash your party. This brought out Vince McMahon to crash the party. Punk attended Yale, calling him a cheat and a swindling promoter. Vince said an individual who shall remain anonymous will deliver a videotape that proves that Punk was complicit in the scheme operated by Paul Heyman involving the Shield. Before Heyman could talk, Vince cut him off and, well, told him he's having a performance review later on in the show, and then Vince said, have a nice party, and that's where we stood to open up Monday Night Raw.
It was a nice opening by Punk.
Yes, it was. It really was. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yep. Punk pretty much saying everything that, well, I've said.
Punk played the perfect heel in this situation. Which is
yes, and then we get the, guess what? We now suddenly have proof of the wrong dealings. Oh, great, here we go.
I like the way they're going with this, and we'll continue with that later in the show. But up first, Antonio Cesaro takes on Randy Orton, with The Miz as a special referee. Solid match?
That uppercut's still vicious as hell.
No, the uppercut was. Oh my god. As Omega said, he used to have games of Mortal Kombat that were played the exact same way.
The finish saw Miz getting into with Cesaro and allowing Randy Orton to hit the RKO for the 1-2-3. After the match, Miz doing the good thing as the referee helps Cesaro up and then hit him with the skull crushing finale.
Look, the Miz tripped, okay? He was helping Cesaro up and he you know, their feet got tangled and, you know, that's how it went. You know, it was an accidental fall. I
kind of like
yeah,
a trip last
even
night.
I can't believe that.
You tried.
I tried. I really did, but even that sounded fucking shit.
Backstage we go. With Ryback in Vicky's office, the wheel is spun, and it's the Make Me Laugh segment.
Now that actually made me laugh. The fact that we see Make Me Laugh, and then we see Ryback. Serious Ryback.
Yeah.
I wanted Hell No to do karaoke so fucking bad. That would have been awesome!
Oh, I know. We come back to the ring, primetime players are in there, and they tell a joke. About Stryker asking what went out on date. The answer was, ain't nobody got time for that, and the primetime players left to themselves, no one else cared. Ryback then says, I have a joke. What has 4 eyes, 20 fingers, and is about to be unconscious?
Let you move.
I think that would be one Titus O'Neil.
He has 20 fingers and 4 eyes?
Yeah. Well, he has half of that. Because the other half ran away.
Because he's hurt.
He's hurt. So he didn't take much. He ran away. Young got destroyed. Then Matt Stryker got destroyed.
That was very weird.
I think
it's we needed a stand-in for Young, and Matt Stryker was it.
And Poor Matt Stryker. The only one who cared was JBL. It made him laugh.
JBL, as usual, was on fucking fire tonight. I love him in commentary.
they were a little bit...
He needs to replace Michael Cole. Big time.
We got a really, really nice video package for Bob Backlund.
Yeah, I like how they started that with, you might remember Bob Backlund from when he defeated Bret Hart in 94, but did you know he actually had a career before that?
Well, because if you remember, for a while, they kind of tried to diminish that part of his career.
Well, at the same time, it's one of those things of, he's one of those guys who was the 70s and 80s.
Right.
Yeah. So, chances are, a lot of today's quote-unquote, you know, casual fans, you know, the people they love so much, they won't know who Bob Backlund is. They just think he's this crazy guy who pops up every now and again and thought he ran for president one time.
But oh my god, when he ran for president, oh my god. It was amazing. Mr. Yeah. Bob Backlund.
But the thing is, it was a very good package that educated fans. And in a situation like Backlund's, who wasn't always the biggest name on the marquee, at least since like probably the 1980s, it was one of those ones that informed people quite well.
They made him seem like he was a big deal by putting over, he beat all these main eventers, which was good.
Yeah. That's probably the most positive I'm going to be about this show tonight.
Up next, Wade Barrett is in the ring, and Vicky spins a wheel, and it says it's player's choice, and Wade Barrett gets to pick whoever he wants. And Wade Barrett...
Me!
I was expecting Teddy Long to come out and make a tag match.
Holler. See, it said player's choice, not player choice.
Oh, you could have him, you know, mistake it or something.
Sorry, Larry.
There are ways to work it. And I know Lindsay wanted to be the one to get pinned by Wade Barrett, but...
Damn right!
Sorry, Lindsay, it was not your night.
Well, it was her night, considering all the people that came out. She was in heaven tonight.
All except one.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I didn't get the one I was hoping to get, but I figured he wouldn't be here anyway, so...
Nah, too early.
Too early. Anyway, would have been nice. Wade Barrett chooses Bo Dallas.
Making his Raw debut.
He ran him down for a little bit, and then Bo Dallas came out. Barrett beat him up a little bit. Barrett goes for the Bullhammer. He ducks. Hell of a power slam. And he got the 1-2-3 over Wade Barrett.
Yep. Welcome to your Intercontinental title WrestleMania feud.
Or your main event feud on main event.
Pretty much, yeah.
Either way, it's actually something I'd like to see more of.
Now, Mace, as a worker... I'm going to use the Alan Woodard.
Whatever you're asking, I can't answer because those opinions are not valid.
I'm going to play Alan Woodard. As a worker, what do you think of the power slam?
I'm sorry, I cannot answer that question on the grounds that workers' opinions are not wanted by WWE fans. So, I can't answer that. Not allowed to.
Okay, as a retarded Aussie, what do you think
of... Oh my god, The Rock did it! It was fucking awesome!
Okay, moving on. Cody Rhodes spun the wheel. And it landed on John Cena.
Poor bastard, it should have landed on Goldust. Mind you, if anything, it would have been hilarious to have them do like a... If you landed on Daniel Bryan and the stipulation was mustache versus beard.
No, they should have done that with Damian Sandow.
Beard versus beard. Oh, beard versus beard. Yes, that would be awesome.
So we had John Cena, Cody Rhodes. Cena won. After Cody said he had enough of this, and then he pulled him back in the ring, hit his moves, and pinned him for the 1-2-3. Cena then picked up the microphone. He said only one man could stand in this ring and said they won the Royal Rumble, and that's him.
The second coming of Jesus Christ himself. Yeah, get used to this, people, because this is the opinion I'm allowed to have.
Hey, Tim, you don't like listening to us on your phone? Really? Okay, good to know. Anyway, hi, Tim. Hi, Tim.
It's called Poke the Bear. Poke, 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 poke.
Cena announced booze and, you know, brought it up. He said throwing Ryback over the top rope was unpredictable and unbelievable step, but was only in the first. He said the winner of the Royal Rumble gets to choose the challenger of, you know, gets to issue a challenge to any champion of his choosing for the main event of WrestleMania. Cena said this was his most difficult step. The choice for me was difficult because World Heavyweight Championship aside, either person who holds the WWE Championship goes to WrestleMania will either be CM Punk or The Rock.
In other words, blah, 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 history, 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 I'm making the decision everybody fucking knows I'm making.
Cena talked about how he was unable to beat CM Punk for 2 years, and then there was, of course, The Rock, the man who he very openly spoke about before returning to WWE. And then he did so because he returned. I wanted to make sure he challenged one man, and that was him. Cena said he opened his life up to everyone for a year and told them how important the match was to him and how he had to win. He said he jousted physically, mentally, and verbally with The Rock for a full year. He said he proved to the world that he was not only in The Rock's league, but there were nights where Rock couldn't carry his jockstrap. And then April 1st came, and, well, he lost. So, he talked about Vegas being the city built on odds-making. He questioned whether he should choose the World Heavyweight Championship, whether he was the better odds of winning, or does he challenge one of the two possibilities where he has virtually no odds of winning. And he says on April 7th at MetLife Stadium, it will be John Cena challenging for the WWE Championship. And now you are a marked man by yours truly. Before we get to the next part of it, I like that promo from him. I might be the only one, but I liked it.
It was a very atypical Cena promo. It was fine. It was just very... eh?
It was very long-winded. It was taking 10 minutes to say something that should have been said in less than five.
I think in a way he was trying to redeem himself after last week.
Yeah.
Because he botched the promo so badly last week that it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go out here and prove to you that I can talk. And there was actually a moment where I was sitting here and I was watching it. And he's stalling and he's taking these long, pregnant pauses. And it's like, and I told Rock this, and I was like, wouldn't it have been cool if right before he said who he was going to challenge, the lights go out and you hear a gong?
It would have made things interesting. But again, I think we're probably not going to hear the gong until probably late February.
Oh, I know. I know he's not coming back. I know the selective feud is Cena Rock, but it would have been that air of completely unexpected. Where it's everybody knows Taker's on his way back, everybody thinks Taker's getting Punk, everybody thinks Cena's getting Rock. Well, what if they don't do that?
So instead of a gong, we got the Shield. And Lindsay, you go, Dean Ambrose.
Ambrose!
They come down. It was a 3-on-1 attack. They beat down John Cena. Sheamus comes down. He gets beaten down. Ryback comes down. He gets beaten down. Cena makes a comeback. He gets beaten down again. Takes the triple powerbomb. And then the Shield stands in the ring, laying them out.
After, you know, 500 Superman comebacks by Cena.
Well, it happens. I like the beatdown.
You have Ryback, who is supposed to be the biggest monster, who is probably meant to be the size of a monster truck, gets taken out easily. Yet, little John Cena, Superman. Get ready. We're going. This is Superman Cena version 815. Get used to it, people. This is your next year. And yes, I know I'm going to be negative as fuck all year, but guess what? I don't give a fuck. product pissed me off. I'm going to make my voice heard, even though nobody listens or gives a shit.
So backstage, we have...
See?
Oh, Rock, that was just mean.
What?
God. Being such a dick.
And, anyway. We have Tensai and Brutus Clay backstage. They spin and it lands on a lingerie pillow fight?
Which everybody...
Everybody is calling for a shipment of eye bleach. Sorry, Lindsay, I know you were going the same direction.
No, this is where everybody started imitating Daniel Bryan going, no!
Yeah, that too. Just, no! No!
No!
No. Or even a Darth Vader. No!
You know what? I would have been actually okay with a lingerie pillow fight with two guys if it was anybody but Brodus Clay and Tensai.
But we did not get that.
We kind of got it.
We kind of got it, but we got a dance-off instead. Which, you know, Brodus said, I'll tell him. And, well, he didn't tell him. And, well, Tensai was in lingerie.
To which Lindsay cried.
Lindsay cried. People
there.
Eat
the eye bleach.
People reach for the eye bleach. Brodus dance. Tensai dance. And God did he
dance. The hip-hop hippo returns.
The hip-hop hippo did return on this night, and it was... Yeah, it was interesting.
It was one of those things that you're sitting there watching it, and it's like halfway through I realized that Tensai had a thong on over his trunks. It's like, it's not bad enough he's got a nightie on. No, no, no. And he keeps, like, trying to demurely cover what little breasts he has that fit into the ill-fitting underwire bra, which, by the way, feel all every woman's pain with that. It's... He's standing there dancing, and he turns around, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh my god, he's wearing a thong over his trunks. Oh my god. Eye bleach. Eye bleach! Sorry, that... I hated this segment. Like, thoroughly hated this segment.
But here to save the day, we had a...
Damn!
From Farouk.
That was a fucking waste.
That was a waste.
Mind you, the comment afterwards by JBL, hey, I know that guy. Hilarious.
That was funny.
Actually, the best thing about this segment was RuPaul crossed with a sumo wrestler. From JBL.
That was, yeah, that's a visual for you. So, no one won that. But we, up next, we have... They spun the wheel again. It's Alberto Del Rio in a body slam challenge against Big Show. And, well, Big Show was not too happy with Del Rio and, well, beat the living crap out of Del Rio and Ricardo, taped Del Rio to the ropes, and they just started picking on Ricardo. Just throwing him around the ringside, beating him up in the ring, knocking him out.
Poor Ricardo.
Poor Ricardo. The segment worked for what it was supposed to do. It was long, but it worked.
And they used excessive amounts of duct tape.
Excessive amounts of duct tape. Yes, they did. But it worked. It could have been like 5 minutes shorter and would have worked better, but it's building up. You want Del Rio to, the babyface, to get his revenge on the nasty heel. It works. And then the Divas did a thing.
The Divas did a thing that after all the work they did with Eve and Caitlin, that was actually good work, and it helped to build the division a somewhat good view. Like, I was actually excited for the division again. They do a Las Vegas showgirl lumber match in which it was actually could have been Cone, but no, no, no. The outside of the ring, dressed in some...
Mm-hmm.
Can I just...
Yes.
What? confident women's division.
Tonight, on him.
Eddie is made worse. Now Trish is going in.
Spoiler alert.
We're a recap. We spoilers. We are recap.
Oh,
the show has aired. It is no longer spoilers.
But you never know. Some people could listen to our show to get the recap, so that way they don't have to watch it or fast forward through it.
We know who you are, Mr. AW. We know who you are. Anyway, The Rock, the WWE Champion, comes out next to finally save the show. He talked, you know, there's no other means more deeply in the WWE Championship 2007 times this woman's career. I want to thank everyone. He recalled that Punk said those days that whenever about whether he was a big and fried Twinkie. Then interrupts. And then CM Punk in a Punk solo stage said, The Rock didn't win the title. It was handed to you just like everything else in your spoon-fed life, he said. He told the fans to boo him because 20 years from now they will all call him a genius, but they are too stupid to know it right now. That sounded a little bit like Andy Kaufman to me.
Could have been.
It just had that feel. The way he was acting, it had that feel. Want to take a phone call?
Sure.
Well, let's try this. Welcome to the Raw Post Show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Tanner Johnson from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was just wondering, do you think that Triple H will make his return next Monday after Brock Lesnar came back?
I'm thinking it might be next week or it might be a couple weeks away. What do you guys think?
Alright. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Cool. And we'll talk more about that when we get there.
That's okay, call in, make a point, disappear. All good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we had a girl. That was a girl, right?
No.
Oh, damn it.
That was a little kid.
It was a little kid.
Why are you listening to the show then?
We encourage everybody to listen to the show.
Then we need to clean up the profanity if we have kids listening. PG!
Fuck no.
It's fact no. where are we? Alright. Punk said he made the title The Rock is Holding. He made the title that The Rock is holding by wearing it for 434 days. He said, if The Rock had any respect for his father and his grandfather, he would walk up that aisle and hand it to him and admit that he stole it from him and apologize to him. And The Rock said that if Puck had an ounce of manhood and nuts between his legs, he would come there and take it. Punk started to walk down, and then he walked back up the ramp, smiled, and said he would stand there like a punk-ass bitch. He says he doesn't do things on The Rock's terms. He does what he thinks when he wants to do it. Punk said he might grant Rock a rematch. He said tonight doesn't fit his schedule, but then he ran through a few cities where he will be this weekend. And then talked about he'll be in Raw. He'll be in Atlanta for Raw next week. That was a shot at The Rock. He said if none of these fit in The Rock's schedule, then they could do it in 3 weeks. Said, show up if you dare, and at Elimination Chamber, it will be The Rock and CM Punk one more time.
Yay. Let's waste Punk's rematch. Yay.
What do you mean, waste his rematch?
Well, let's give him a rematch at a pay-per-view. We know he has no chance of winning. I know things can change, but come on, people. At least admit to yourselves that you know it's Rock Cena to it, Mania, and Punk is going to lose any rematch between now and then. Let's not kid ourselves anymore, shall we?
But I don't understand how that's wasting it. It's storytelling.
Because instead of saving it and actually making Punk look somewhat fucking credible... after fucking over his title reign. You know, don't worry, Rock. I'll shut the fuck up. That's cool. Don't worry about it.
Continue.
No, no. You obviously don't agree, so you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to bother. Continue the show. Go on.
Sheamus took on Damian Sandow in a tables match.
Good match.
Yeah, it was. Awkward finish, though?
A little bit, yeah.
It was weird.
How so?
I don't know. It's just something about... He gets him up in the Celtic Cross, runs towards the table, and just turns around and throws himself and Sandow through. It just looked awkward. I don't know. It's like there's usually... You know, in a situation you'd think, you know, maybe he'd hit a brogue kick and Sandow go flying through it, or, you know, he'd use the Celtic Cross and sort of put him through an upstanding table, not a table in a corner. It just looked weird to me, that's all.
It did come off weird.
Yeah.
So Sheamus wins with the white noise through the table. They hyped up the Vince McMahon segment, and they teased what I think is pretty cool, the Intercontinental Cup on WWE Main Event to determine a new number one contender.
Wow, they're making a big deal out of a number one contenders match. Cool.
I think we mentioned is it that
for which title?
The IC title.
Wait, that... Now that also sounds weird. they're putting emphasis on who becomes a contender for the Intercontinental title? You mean they're giving a shit about something other than the WWE belt?
I want people to tune into the Main Event every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on ION.
Desperate plea for ratings. Awesome.
No. They're actually doing decent on there for ION. They're double what Ion usually gets. So
okay. Decent for Ion. That's saying good. That's just like saying TNA ratings are good for Spike. I know what that means. I'm on you.
Then we're back to the ring with WWE karaoke
with the wrong people.
This is where Lindsay went, oh, thank God my TV is muted.
Great Khali tried to sing Shawn Michaels' theme.
Oh, God. I wanted Mike Tyson to come and bite my ears off.
Ooh.
It was... It doesn't even have words for how bad it was.
He sung Summer Lovin' Better years ago. This, yeah. Not so much. And the person with the actual song didn't actually sing. But here comes the three-man band, and this made Omega... Oh my God, I'm so glad to see it, the three-man band. Wait. No?
This is where Lindsay went, hide your McIntyre's pants, can I get in you, please?
This is, if you wanted a way to make us want to see the three-man band, this was it. This is the only time that you will ever hear the words, thank God for the three-man band.
So, they said words, one of them jumped and got Khali chopped, I think that was Drew. Ryder hit Jinder with the Rough Rider. Khali chopped Slater, then he got tadpole splashed by Hornswoggle. And the highlight was Natty.
Indeed.
Yes.
I wanted her dress.
You can have the dress, I'll take the rest.
Okay. Well, I figured one of you two would want the rest, so I was just going to keep my mouth shut.
Chris Jericho made his return to Monday Night Raw. we got Rollins Jericho. He's been gone only 6 months, but it felt like 6 years. He said, I fooled you. I fooled you. I fooled you. Well, he actually did fool us.
Yeah, that was a nice little shot.
He did the never, ever routine. Out came Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler noted that he eliminated Jericho from the Royal Rumble. They asked, what is he doing here since he was, you know, responsible for getting him fired? Jericho told Ziggler to put a leash on his crazy little doggy before she pee-peed in the ring.
That was a good line.
It was.
But by the way, before Ziggler came out, I was looking at it going, hold on, am I watching 2013 or 1999?
It's a 2013 on his trunk, so 2013.
Okay, because for a second there, I could have sworn it was 1999 all over again. Jericho doing Raw as Jericho being a face, and The Rock's the champion. Yeah, it just felt like I was in the time machine.
By the way, there's something weird about Jericho's face.
Yeah, you noticed that as well.
Yeah, it's like weird. It's really his neck is thin, maybe.
He's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that DDP yoga works.
And he's also been going to the tattoo parlor because he's got some fresh ink.
Especially on that left arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed that last night at the Rumble that he had a whole heap of new tats.
It looks weird on him.
Yeah, you're used to him being sort of a clean-cut guy, but...
I get the image when if you're wearing a shirt and then there's the tattoo, when he has no shirt on, it just looks awkward on his arm.
Well, he might not be wearing a shirt, but he does have a new shirt at WWEshop.com.
Shameless plug.
Just as long as those leather pants come back, I'll be a happy, happy, happy girl.
Give it time; he'll bring them back.
Langston told Jericho to leave before I run your. Ruin your little return. Joker asks if the E in his name stands for his bra size, and then pointed out his giant pecs.
That was funny.
Then Vicky came onto the screen and announced that she's the one who signed Joker to a new contract. And then we got the strange bedfellows matchup between Chris Jericho and Dolph Ziggler against Kane and Daniel Bryan.
At least we got Hell No.
Yes, but I wanted a segment about what happened at the Rumble last night, and we didn't get it. And more specifically, AJ did not have a conversation with them about the apparent gimmick infringement.
Give it time. I reckon they'll probably put it on the website or something, because they won't put it on YouTube, we know that much. By the way, a moment of silence for Are You Serious?
Puppet H, you're welcome to come crash on my couch.
Then you can play a game of a different kind. Uh-huh.
Because I'm going to sleep with a puppet.
They do that in Japan.
I'm not Omega.
Thank you. I was wondering how long it would take for one of those references, but okay.
We love you, Omega. Not that you're listening.
So he has a fake TV and the puppet. Okay.
Yeah, segue out of that one, bitch.
Puppet porn, what?
What's Bugs calling him?
Puppet porn, coming next on the Wall Channel. Brought to you by PJ Omega.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Segue out of that.
There were some arguments between Kane and Daniel Bryan in this matchup. A little tension between the anger buddies.
The day they split, I'm going to cry, I'm telling you.
I know. But in the end, Jericho tagged Ziggler, and Ziggler tagged himself in, then Jericho hit Kane on the back, and Kane chokes Sam Ziggler for the 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm.
Fine main event match. We then got the announcement, as we spoiled earlier, Trish Stratus is going into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yay!
I'm okay with that.
But he needs to send them up to Florida.
Well, he can use the puppet.
Oh!
Soak it all up. See how I tied all that together?
Well done.
Oh, Cole announced that Booker T will have a major announcement regarding the World Heavyweight Championship on Friday SmackDown.
They're getting rid of it! What?
No. By the way, it's official. The house shows are called WWE Live. And they're really pushing this WWE VIP experience. They did not say if it came with an entrance and all that stuff like we had last week. But you never know.
Never know.
You never know. Speaking of entrance, Vince McMahon comes down to the ring for the personal performance review. Paul Heyman wanted to shake Vince's hand. Vince took out the, he did the old routine, should I shake it or not? Then shook his hand and then used hand, disinfectant on his hands. Vince asked if he has ever had the Shield or Brad Maddox on the contract. Heyman wanted to thank Vince for his opportunity to come out here and sell it. He said the answer was no, I have never had anything to do with Brad Maddox on the Shield. Vince McMahon asked if he ever lied. Heyman recalled Vince's father saying adversity defines a man in the darkest hour. Heyman said he's lied every day in his stinking life because he's a promoter, goddammit. He's a promoter. He said he has done it to survive. I've lied on the soul of my parents, he said. I've lied. He said he
I'm surprised with the mention of Vince's father. Vince didn't just turn around and kill him.
He said he did it because he had to. He said he said with that in mind, he swears that he is not lying now. Vince asked, so you're an honorable man? Heyman said he's not the most honorable man, but he's trying to become one. Heyman said he's never been a saint, and wants to be in the WWE, and if it takes being an honorable man to be here, then damn it, that's what I'll be.
Someone check the temperature in hell. Wait, it's still hot down there? Yeah, Heyman's full of shit.
Vince had the cameraman do a close-up of Heyman's face and asked the crowd if he was an honest man. They said no, and then, well, we had some footage. Paul Heyman walking to a deep, dark corner of the arena with Brad Maddox. He insisted that the camera be turned off, and it really wasn't. Heyman acknowledged that he and Punk said the Shield paid the Shield more than Maddox because they were more effective at what they did than Maddox is. The Shield then came out from behind, and, well, Maddox got scared a little bit. And Heyman said, just take the beating like a man. And they beat down Maddox. The crowd chanted, you got busted, to Paul Heyman. And then Vince asked, Mr. Heyman, is this a personal performance for you? And we got a hey, hey, goodbye. And then Paul Heyman yelled at the fans, I'm trying to save my job. Or should I say, excuse me for a moment, my career is on the line, which was fantastic. Heyman said that wasn't him in the video, however. He said he has a thick New York Jewish accent, and it's easy to impersonate. They're in Las Vegas, after all, you know. There could be, you know, impersonators, because they're in Vegas. Vince said it would appear as though it's about time to wish you your future endeavors. In other words, Mr. Heyman, wait, that's Brock Lesnar's music. No, that can't be Brock. No, wait a minute, it's Brock Lesnar. Thank you for the music, Mace.
I will
call that last night.
Yes, you did.
I called this entire segment last night.
She did. We booked this segment last night. Lesnar,
which means you're the plant, Rock.
No, you're the plant.
I'm not the plant. You're the plant.
I'm not the plant. You're the plant.
You're the plant.
No, you're the plant.
You're the plant.
No, you are.
You are.
You are.
You
oh
are.
Oh my god, you're both a piece of foliage. Would you shut the fuck up? Jesus fucking Christ. I swear to God, you guys are teaming up just to fucking make me have a fucking brain aneurysm tonight, aren't you?
Okay, Dr. Shelby.
No, you haven't met Dr. Phil yet, so...
Oh God, Mace is our Dr. Shelby. That's a terrifying thought.
So Brock Lesnar came down to the ring. Paul Heyman was screaming, Vince, leave. Just leave, Vince. Leave. Vince said, if I were you, I wouldn't do something I would regret later on. He kept looking back at Heyman. Heyman kept screaming, and then Brock told him, just, you know, back away. Tell him to go in the corner, basically. Stay in your corner, Heyman. So Heyman kept screaming and screaming, and then Lesnar grabs Vince, gives him the F5, and then Pal Heyman, Brock, no more, no more, please God, what did you do, oh my God, what did you do?
I began the setup for a match at WrestleMania.
Yep.
I wanted to see him throw the Kimura lock on Vince just to further exacerbate the situation. But that's just me.
So there you go. Lesnar stood in the ring over a fallen Vince McMahon.
Good thing he re-signed that contract last night, huh?
Mm-hmm. Worked a few more dates into that contract.
Yeah, probably a few more zeros.
Now let me ask this question. Is Triple H going to return the conquering hero and the eventual son-in-law, or is he going to be reluctant given the fact that he lost at SummerSlam?
Nah, he'll come back to defend the honor of his family, damn it.
And in week 3 of our booking scenario, we want Shane McMahon.
Yes.
Yeah, good luck with that.
If Shane McMahon appears, you heard it here first. Just pointing it out. So yeah, that's Monday Night Raw in a nutshell.
Yeah, it was... Sorry, Lindsay, you go first.
I was just going to say, it was okay. It was somewhat entertaining, but I was expecting, I guess, a little bit more fallout from the Rumble than what we got. And it just... Punk segments were really well done. He was completely on tonight. The Heyman segment was good at the end, but the rest of it was just... eh. And the Vicky segments were really just so scripted, it was plainly obvious and kind of annoying.
Yeah. I just... For your first big pay-per-view of the year, it seemed very lackluster. It seemed very... like, it was just, oh, look, we just had the Rumble. It's one of the biggest pay-per-views we have. And it's over, and now we don't give a shit. Let's bring on Mania. But there was no real intrigue, no real fallout, like Lindsay said. There needed to be something to it, and there was just nothing to it. It was very substanceless Raw. So, could have done better, WWE. Could have done better.
There's always next week.
True.
So anyway, that's...
But it's sort of your Raw after your pay-per-view sets the tone for the next month. And if that's the tone for the next month, we're going to be in for a really bad February.
I wouldn't say that. The segments that had us hit. Everything else was meh.
If we get 10 the next month, I'm going to cry.
I have a knife to scoop your eyes out with.
Okay.
Well, I don't think we're going to get Tensai in drag for the next month.
Oh, no. I could see that becoming a gimmick.
Actually, that's on TV right now, and he fills out that bra better than I originally thought. That's kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, that is a little terrifying then. If he fills it out better than you originally thought.
But the question is, does he fill it out better than the Divas?
Some of them, yeah.
Now you have to wonder, you know, who, you know, you send someone out to buy that and go, yeah, it's for Tensai, and they go, huh?
I need a piece of lingerie for a guy who's about 6 foot, what's he, about 6'7", 6'8"? About 250 odd pounds. They're going to look at you and go, huh?
No, this is Vegas. They wouldn't look at you weird.
Yeah, that's true. They're in Vegas. That makes sense.
Oh, God, you know what that probably means? That's why the Godfather was there last night. He was dropping off the lingerie for Tensai. Yeah.
You
live with that image.
You go to the corner now. He's 6'7", 360. 6'7", 360, yeah. So there you go. So that's been the Raw Post Show. Tomorrow night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. On the program, we will be speaking with one half of the tag team known as the Headbangers. We'll be talking to Thrasher.
Okay. Beaver Cleavage.
Not Beaver Cleavage. The other guy. They also would wear... Well, Tensai would have a lot in common with them. They wear bras at one point. Get that image out of your head.
I remember that.
Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. I think we're doing the Hawk Show. I don't know, 11 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday night. We'll see. Thursday night, it's the award-winning, the best new show, thanks to the Wrestling Radio Awards, The Rack.
We're talking all about Impact. We're going to probably talk a little bit more about the Royal Rumble and have some discussion topics and some other stuff, so tune in and listen.
Maybe Friday night's Wake Up Call with Johnny Cashmere, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, but Saturday night, midnight-ish, at CB Radio with myself, Ron Parks, and Subway. Weird, wacky, unusual. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio after the Super Bowl. So whenever the Super Bowl ends, we'll eventually be on the air. Probably be talking Super Bowl and wrestling. Wrestle Talk Radio. 10 p.m.-ish.
Yeah, probably the first hour of the show we'll probably go to, oh my god, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, football, football, football. And then eventually we'll get to wrestling, probably hour two or three.
So 10 p.m.-ish on Sunday night. We'll be back next week for another edition of the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, as we are every Monday night right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Visit MemLanePromo.com. Visit PWMania.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Lindsay.
Follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Please go visit CastyRiley.net, buy his merchandise, and listen to all the other fine programming on this network, including The Rack.
Miss.
Oh, like it fucking matters.
Check out the latest editions of the WTRS. We have Royal Rumbles 2001 and 2002 on the website as we speak. They're on the main page, so go check them out. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of The Raw Post Show live right here across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.